Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of After Dark Radio here at our new website, AfterDarkRadioShow.com. The former BrianAlvarez.com, we've added a new URL, and I was actually battling with the new website for, quite a while before we actually went on the air here. So if I'm sweating and ranting, I apologize for that. But we are joined today, as always, by Carl Stern to talk about all of the news. And then later on this afternoon, we're going to be joined by a man who I know only as Joe, believe it or not. I actually don't know his last name. We've been communicating via email for a while. Not even sure I can list his last name. We'll talk to him about that later on in the program. But we're going to be talking about haunted locations. And that's really all I can say about it at this point. But should be a fun time tonight. And Carl, how you doing today?
I'm doing much better, Brian. I want to apologize for not getting a show up last week due to Mother Nature taking control. And do appreciate all the kind comments on the show the week before. And, I guess we're back. We're back now in the saddle again, I suppose.
We are back in the saddle again. It's going to be a tough month. I've got a lot of busy weekends coming up, so we're going to do the best we can to keep this show consistent. And
apparently,
God himself
has intervened and took us out for a week, so I don't even know what we do to battle that.
Well, actually, travel took me out, but yes, God took you out. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But again, the new website, AfterDarkRadioShow.com. I'm going to try to update it every day with the latest news. It's the place to go to find out what we're talking about here on this program and different subjects that Carl and I are going to talk about here in the opening segment on the show. But before we talk about any of the news, Carl, I've put up a link on the front page of AfterDarkRadioShow.com, how to help with the tornado relief efforts in Alabama. You were affected. For those that have not heard your show on our sister site, WrestlingObserver.com, very quickly, bring us up to speed about what happened and how you're doing right now.
Well, April 27th is a day that is going to go down in history. Alabama is one of the worst. In fact, I believe it is now officially the worst natural disaster ever to hit the state. It was a day that, for those of you who perhaps don't know a little bit about my background, I am a law enforcement officer and have been for 17 years. And in the course of that job, I have extensive storm spotting training and have kind of taken that as a side hobby to get certified in a lot of that sort of stuff and to do recovery and storm spotting and things like that.
Actually, Carl, can you get a little closer to the phone?
Oh, sorry about that, Brian.
There we go.
Again, we're battling Mother Nature here. Phones are very iffy. So, April 27th, they had been talking about this day for over a week, about the potential for very violent weather. And this was not your run-of-the-mill springtime systems. This was going to be something that they were saying a week in advance may be historic, and as it turns out, it was. To the best of my knowledge, and the toll changes daily, but in excess of 300 people were killed April 27th here in the northern half of the state of Alabama, and a large number of those people were killed within about a 40-mile radius of where I live. In fact, my neighborhood itself was struck with a EF3 rated tornado. I stood down at my mother and father's house and watched the tornado destroy our neighborhood. But just shortly before that, an EF5 struck my mother's hometown of Hackleburg, Alabama. And I want to plug real quickly a Facebook page called Hope for Hackleburg. If you're on Facebook, please friend Hope for Hackleburg, and there is all kinds of information about how you can help with any recovery there. There was a large death toll there, and the town was just completely just taken off the map. I mean, it was, when I say taken off the map, I don't mean destroyed. I mean wiped off the face of the earth. And I've been working not only here where I'm employed, but I've also been working at Hackleburg as well. The federal agencies have come in now, and cleanup and recovery is on the way. There are still several people missing. that have not yet been accounted for. And I will say this also, for those of you who are interested in helping, I'm not going to go into a big spiel of who to give to and what to do, but let me just say the largest employer in Hackleberg, in fact, in this area, is Wrangler Jean Company. And Wrangler has said they are going to rebuild. Their plant was completely destroyed and people were killed there at the plant. They are going to rebuild. They are going to put a large amount of money and resources into rebuilding the community. So if you have an opportunity to maybe go to the Wrangler Jeans website or drop a letter to Wrangler, just thank them for their efforts and encourage them to support Hackleberg and to rebuild there. That's really the best thing that could happen to the area. Is not, the Red Cross does great work, volunteers do great work, but in the long term, that's going to make the difference. And a kind word dropped to Wrangler Jeans would be great to encourage them to continue to help out there in Hackleberg. Today is day 18 of straight days I've worked. And hopefully, I'm about to have a day off. It's up in the air, but finally, maybe things will get back to normal, Brian, and we can get After Dark back on course. Right before this, I relaunched Carl Stern, the website, carlstern.com, and immediately was taken off into this disaster. So we're going to get really concentrated on that as well and get back to doing what we enjoy, get back to living life, I suppose. And I'm running a homeless shelter at my house still, so it's just life is just completely upside down. It's insane.
Well, I'm glad that everything worked out for you, and the Facebook page is Hope for Hackleberg. That's Hackleberg. Got 4,319 people that like this right now, so head up there. And it is kind of strange on Facebook to you support the page about a city that was wiped out by liking the page. But that's what you do, so go up there and check out, and there's information on how to donate, HackleberghelpingHands.com, and a lot of other URLs up there as well, so make sure you go up there and check that out. And we've got more on our website as well, so make sure you head up there and see what there is to see. A lot of news in the last couple of weeks, Carl, and we don't normally talk about things as of or related to politics, but the death of bin Laden has led to a lot of people speculating that he's not dead, because this is what happens. Conspiracy theories abound whenever there's a major world news story, and that is, I guess, the newest hot conspiracy theory of the week. And what are your thoughts on those who believe that bin Laden has not, in fact, been killed?
I think Jon Stewart said it best on The Daily Show a couple of days ago. There's all this talk about, you know, releasing the photograph and all this stuff. Well, you know, the Zapruder film did wonders for JFK, and everybody believes that now after seeing the. So, you know, there's for doubters, what's the old saying? The for those who want to believe, you know, whatever it is, that no explanation is good enough for people who don't want to believe is the basis of that. But, you know, for all the conspiracy theories surrounding 9/11, and you can put there's certain degrees of credibility to some and tremendous lack of credibility to others. But at this stage in the game, I mean, seriously, first, bin Laden has been largely out of the news for a long time. In fact, for years, people have speculated that he's already dead, that he died of some sort of liver ailment, he died of some sort of injury, and so forth. So he's been largely a non-factor for many years, cropping up only now and again with these videotapes or audio tapes. And so if this was going to be a staged killing of bin Laden, wouldn't we have done this years ago if we were certain he was already dead? So I think, you know, just the common sense factor points to this being actually what it was, a military operation that killed bin Laden. I just, you know, I see a lot of credibility, some credibility for a lot of the conspiracy theories and stuff, but this one I don't think has any legs to stand on.
Well, when you mentioned there had been rumors for many years that he had died of this or that ailment, You know, oftentimes when the speculation began that he was dead, you know, sometime thereafter, a new video would show up, and he would be there proving that he was not, in fact, dead. And I just find it hard to believe that if he were not dead, that he would not be releasing a video of him being alive. He would have done it either by now or very shortly thereafter, and he has not. And, you know, I guess if your conspiracy of the day is that he's actually been dead for a long time, and this whole supposed raid and such was BS, that's at least easier for me to believe than he's still alive and he's still out there. This, that, and the other thing. I do believe that he is dead. I would like to throw that out there. I'm not subscribing to any of these crazy theories. But it is a good point that when people beg to see the photograph, like this photograph is going to be proof or something like that. You know, there were a couple of photos actually circulating in the days after he died, and as it turns out, there were people that, in fact, senators that believed that these were the actual death photos, and as it turned out, they were not. So once something like that happens, I mean, by releasing the photos, you're begging for people to say that, okay, these are doctored as well.
Well, there's no, there. I mean, what is absolute proof? What, I mean, there. When you get down to it, for anything in life, there is no absolute proof. I mean, you hear seeing is believing. Well, if we don't know who Bin Laden, I've never met Bin Laden in my lifetime. I wouldn't know who he is. So if I saw the body myself, there's still someone could come along and say, well, that's not really him. That's a body double or something. I mean, you can always introduce doubt into anything, and that's where a lot of conspiracies spring from. It's just introduction of doubt, not necessarily lack of credible evidence. In this situation, I don't know that there's anything that you could do. I mean, for Pete's sake, his wife identified the body. Today, Al-Qaeda admitted that they had killed Bin Laden. So, you know, I don't know what more you could present that would silence all doubters. Sometimes you've just got to take the abundance of evidence and say, well, this is what really happened. Because if you're looking for absolute definitive proof, you're not going to find that in anything in life. You've just got to go by the preponderance of the evidence, and that's, I think, what we have here.
That article did just come out today. Al-Qaeda confirmed the death of Osama bin Laden on Friday in an internet message that vowed revenge on the United States and its allies, including Pakistan, according to a statement.
Well, yeah, I think that's what we need to be more worried about now, is whether or not we're going to see a photo of bin Laden being killed, or whether this is some vast conspiracy. We now need to be keeping our eyes open in case, in the very likely event this is in fact real and that there may be repercussions for it. That's what we need to be more concentrating on now than the doubters.
I think Al-Qaeda confirming this, by the way, does sort of, I guess it's going to shift the conspiracy now to he has been dead for a while, and this was all staged to, I guess, for political reasons or whatever. I would presume that, and in fact, I've seen some of those. You go to various message boards, and that seems to be the thread that comes up that, in fact, in fact, one thread that I saw, these people were speculating that he, in fact, had been dead since 2001, which that one to me is kind of rough, seeing as to how there were a lot of videos that came out post-2001 where he was visibly aging in all of them. But
well, yeah, and one of the ones I like, and I haven't heard this in many years, but one of my favorite ones, because I like the premise of it, even though I don't agree with it being real, was that bin Laden never existed in the first place, that he was a created figurehead, a fictional character to blame all these evils of the world upon, that he might have even been a real person, that they decided that all bad things that were going to happen and these secret government undertakings were going to be blamed on him. I always found that quite laughable, but it was an idea out there for a few years, nonetheless.
As far as other news, it's up on the AfterDarkRadioShow.com website. There is this happens with some regularity, it seems. The latest asteroid to pass extremely close to the Earth is going to be taking place in November. near-Earth asteroid 2005 YU-55. It's going to pass within 0.85 lunar distances from the Earth on November 8th. And they don't believe it's going to hit the Earth anytime in the next 100 years or likely ever. But whenever things like this happen, you know, every now and then you'll see a list of known near-Earth objects, and that's kind of the key word, known. And then sort of the day comes where, oh, here's a new one that was unknown. But don't worry, everything is fine. Do you think it is inevitable at some point within our lifetime that we're going to be hit by an object?
It's the clock's ticking on that one. I think it's inevitable at some point Earth is going to be hit again by an asteroid. I'm not so sure in our life. Again, that's you know, it's one of those quantifiers that we can't know, because those things are, even though we're beginning to map a lot of them, there's still way more that we don't know about than we do know about. And, I mean, it's certainly, I mean, most scientists you talk to or astronomers you talk to say it's inevitable. I mean, we are going to get hit by a catastrophic asteroid event, but in our lifetime, that's kind of an unknowable thing. At some point in time, yes, absolutely, we are in our lifetime. I'm not so sure.
Well, the Tunguska blast was likely an asteroid hitting the Earth, and that was just over 100 years ago. So I guess, you know, I would think the odds are that we're going to be okay for a little while, but obviously it's inevitable that we'll be hit again.
Yeah, I think so, too, and I think events like that are going to obviously be more frequent, because you're going to have a lot more of those smaller type and asteroid atmospheric explosions and things like that than you are catastrophic, you know, dinosaur killing level event asteroids hitting the planet. And certainly we hope that to be the case, but even the one was it 1910 was the one in Russia, I think.
That was 1908 or somewhere around there. Yeah.
Population center nowadays, that would be a catastrophic event in and of itself.
You know, I thought this was kind of interesting. Speaking of near Earth objects, this is also on some of the various message boards here. It is an article that I have received here. It is in Spanish. It is about Chinese scientists. So right there, an American reading a translated version of a Spanish article about Chinese scientists. God knows the chain that this thing went through here. And I don't know really anything about this website, because it is in Spanish. I don't know if this is like your weekly world news style or anything like that. But the reason I'm bringing this up is it's kind of interesting that I'll just read this very quickly. This is the translated version, so God knows Google has translated it. Based on reports issued by China's space agency, Sergio Toscano, director of astronomical research, says that behind Comet Elenin could be approaching a UFO. And the reason I bring that up is because, about a decade ago, the Hale-Bopp comet, there was the whole story about how there could be a UFO trailing that comet. And God knows that did not lead to good things.
No, it didn't. And that's fabulous. You would think that story would get picked up by the mainstream press if that were, in fact, the case. That's quite the story there.
Did you follow any of that that Hale-Bopp story?
Yes, I did. I remember very well where I was working, when I was working, and standing out there. And you know, the comet was visible for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. It was a long period of time, maybe even a month. And so it was all over the news. And the what was the name of the cult that was in? It was
Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate, I believe.
Yeah.
The suicide cult, and I mean, you know, you can get 20 or 30 people, I believe, to believe anything if that's any indication of what humanity is, how our brains work.
Yes, Heaven's Gate, this cult, believed that there was a UFO following Hale-Bopp. This was in the late 90s. And 39 members, I believe, committed suicide in an attempt to get to the spacecraft that was following Hale Bopp, which, as it turns out, was not there. But I just kind of found it fascinating that here we are, you know, almost 15 years later, and now we've got another comet and another claim that an aerial craft is following the comet. And hopefully this story does not take off.
Well, you know, that's the comets and just strange phenomenon happening in space. Well, as long as mankind's been on the Earth, they've been seeing, you know, angels or UFOs or gods or whatever in astronomical events. So I think it's just human nature to be freaked out by new stuff in the sky. Even now with all of our technology and all the ability we have to know and understand and even study what these things are that are different, there's going to be a segment of people. It's just in our psyche to think when we see something that's out of the ordinary to try to attach some sort of supernatural or extraterrestrial explanation to it.
I should take a look, actually. I should put this up on the website. Actually, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe this is not something that desperately needs to be publicized. But there's a bunch of comments in here by various people. And according to one of the comments here, April Fool's Day. Apparently this was published on April 1st. So this person believes that the entire thing was a ruse from day one. But strangely enough, his claim that it was an April Fool's Day joke, he actually made this post on March 5th. So not sure exactly how that happened. But anyway, that's your latest wacky conspiracy theory there. So you can probably Google that and find out more. You sent me an article a couple of days ago. I know you want to talk about this. Floating gyroscopes vindicate Einstein.
Yes, apparently they're further backing up my space-time lag theory. Einstein was right, apparently. There is a space-time vortex around the Earth. This coming from NASA, and it shape precisely matches the prediction of Einstein's theory of gravity. So there's a great article. I just put it up on the Dragon King Carl Twitter. If you want to check that out, the link's up there. And so it's a great study legitimately done by NASA about how gravity affects time. And I won't go into all the depth of the article because it is very detailed and gets into some really good stuff about how black holes can affect time with the intense gravity around those. So do check that out. Again, I put the link up just now on the Dragon King Carl Twitter account.
What I thought was interesting about the story was essentially they have now proven that the Earth, the gravity of the Earth warps surrounding space, which Einstein had predicted. And what I thought was fascinating was he had made this prediction, but he also predicted that it's so minor that it would be impossible to measure. And as it turns out, 100 years later, he was in fact wrong. We now have the ability to measure that. So that's kind of an example there of, you know, he was a genius, obviously, and but at the same time, to predict where technology is going to be in 100 years and what we'll be able to do and what we'll be able to measure, even Einstein struck out.
That's right. And, again, it's a fascinating article because, again, the illustrations that come with the article really go to better explain how gravity does warp time-space and how denser objects can affect it more, and how time does, in fact, is different here than, say, on Jupiter or something of more heavy, and to a greater degree around a black hole or a super dense, like a white dwarf or something like that. So it's just a fascinating article, and it's hard to wrap your brain around space-time, but this article by a legitimate agency, finally, NASA, has it's very interesting.
Well, Carl, let's get some plugs out there before we end this segment here. Where can people learn more about Carl Stern?
Well, the best place to go now is the reinvented and in business, I guess you would say, carlstern.com. I have put the old website back up and cleaned it up, and I'm now posting regularly there, magazine-style articles. carlstern.com is Carl with the letter K, carlstern.com. And that has access to all the other stuff, Twitter as Dragon King Carl. And I have a new article up at carlstern.com explaining how you can actually make Twitter useful with an application available for iPad and iPhone. Do check that out. Just put that up yesterday.
So check it out, carlstern.com. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to be joined by Joe to talk about haunted locations. Should be a fun time. You're listening to After Dark Radio at afterdarkradioshow.com. We are back here on After Dark Radio here at afterdarkradioshow.com. Brian Alvarez here. We are joined at this moment by Joe. It's all we know about him. His name is Joe. And I actually know Joe's last name, but I don't think we're going to say it here on the air because we'll just explain the whole story here. Joe, how you doing first off?
Doing pretty good, Brian. How are you?
Now, you emailed me a while back and said, let's do a show on hauntings. And I can't even say where, but you said where these buildings were. And I was like, sure, that sounds great. And you said, before we do the show, I need to talk to the bosses about this. So tell us what ended up happening.
Well, in the past, the company I work for has done ghost tours and whatnot as a way to drum up publicity. And unfortunately, the conclusion they came to is that the publicity they drum up winds up bringing people who want to do more free ghost tours and not paying customers. So I asked, and they said no, and I felt like a tool.
So essentially, we're going to do the show anyway, but we're not going to mention the theaters or anything like that. So not going to be exactly the kind of show that a lot of people expected, but there are a lot of good stories here. And suffice to say, while we can't say where exactly these things are located, perhaps when you hear the story, some of you will figure out where they are and you can go check them out yourselves. I guess that's the best way we could put it here. So yeah. I guess to start out, how long have you been working at these particular theaters?
About 10 years.
Years.
My father worked there for many, many years before me, so I actually grew up around them.
Now, I guess I don't think we've ever really done, I mean, we talked to Carl a little bit about the haunted theaters and that sort of thing, and I guess we can just start out by a story. Tell us a story of something that happened in one of these theaters, what people have seen, for example, and
okay.
We'll go from there.
I'll start with by far the creepiest, and this comes from my father years and years ago. By far the most skeptic man I've ever heard, doesn't believe in anything supernatural, but he related this story to me. He was in the booth installing a new sound system, so you know, he disconnected the other one and he started hearing a crying baby. This was at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he wandered out to the auditorium thinking, my God, somebody left their child here. So he followed it. The sound continued. He wound up eventually where the sound was coming from, and it immediately stopped, and he, you know, gave the typical I felt a chill story.
Mm-hmm.
Where he just got deathly cold and found himself fleeing back to the booth.
And a hardened skeptic, you note.
Yep, absolutely. So he just hand waves it away and says, whatever, I must have been high, but, you know,
I must have been high, he says.
Well, just, you know, I think he would rather say that to his son than I think I saw a ghost. That'll tell you how much of a skeptic this guy is.
Now, the building itself, at least one of the buildings that we're talking about here, and
yeah.
We don't want to give too many details, but
this is that building.
Okay, what the building is right now, it has been for about 40 years, actually over 40 years.
Yeah.
And prior to that, the actual building was constructed over 100 years ago. So it is an old, old building. And
yeah.
Are there stories of anything that happened in this particular building?
There are tons. And if you ask any employee there, they'll have many. Now, I've never met a movie theater or a bar, for that matter, that doesn't have stories of hauntings. This, you know, so I take this with a grain of salt, but because I've never seen them myself. But many people who work there have seen women in turn-of-the-century clothing wandering around what is now the men's room. and that's fairly common.
Now, do we know what the men's room was before it was the men's room? Was it the women's room? The privy?
I believe it was just a bathroom. I mean, it was a unis. You know, this building, I don't think I can say what it used to be, but let's just say it was predominantly inhabited by women. And,
sure.
Yeah, so I'd imagine it was just, you know, formerly a women's room.
Now, are you somebody who just kind of have heard these stories, and since you work there, there are a lot of these tours and that sort of thing, and that's kind of the extent of it, or once you heard these stories, was this something where you decided, I'm going to investigate other haunted places?
Oh, I definitely started to investigate other haunted places, but never, like, I didn't look them up on the internet. I just heard the stories about my particular theater chain and investigated those since I had the means.
Sure.
Now, yeah. Now, I have had a few personal experiences, but I'm going to preface this by saying that while I believe in ghosts, I believe in them as a phenomena, and only because I've seen them. I think anybody who hasn't experienced this, who just believes it blindly, is kind of a moron. But
Now, when you say you believe in ghosts as a phenomenon, does that just mean you believe that there is a strange phenomenon that people call ghosts, or that you believe that ghosts are spirits of some sort?
No, that is exactly what I'm saying, and I don't ascribe to the theory that they are, you know, dead people come back to life. And I think that at some point in the future, there'll be a proven scientific thing, and we'll just have a new explanation for it. I don't believe that it's some, you know, lingering presence of a dead person come back to life and wandering the halls of a movie theater by any stretch of the imagination.
Sure.
I don't know what it is, but I only believe in it because I've seen it, and it's horrifying.
Well, let's talk about some of the theories here down the road, but first off, let's get into some stories here. What have you seen?
Okay. Now, this is outside of what is obviously my imagination, because I've had experiences that are, you know, that kind of thing. That are just, you know, me being alone in an empty movie theater. It's creepy, and I think I may have seen something, but, you know, it could have just been my imagination overacting or whatever. This is outside of those. Now, the ones that I've actually seen that when clear-headed and completely, you know, on the ball, I've been doing film work at about 1 in the morning and seen small children staring at me through the porthole window, and long enough that I was able to look away, clear my head, go, there's no way I could have seen that, and look back, and there they are. Still there.
Children. Children.
Yes. Fairly creepy-looking children, wearing, you know, 80s clothes, if that makes sense.
You know, 1980s, so neon?
Yeah, basically. Little bracelets and whatnot.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was oddly specific, which is another reason why I don't think, you know, oh, this must have been dead children come back to look at me. Because, you know, I don't think two children died in that theater in the 80s.
Now, how big are these portals that you're looking through?
I'd say they're about 2 feet, like, you know, 2 feet.
So do you just see heads? Is there, like, one head per portal, or what do you see here?
Yeah, I saw, it was a little boy and a little girl. They're both blonde, and they had their hands up on the windowsill and were just peeking in at me. And again, you know, there was something creepy about it just because I was alone. I knew I was alone. I checked the theater, but there was a lingering part of me, much like my father, where I was like, oh, God, some kids snuck in here.
So the portals don't lead to outside. The portals would lead to somewhere elsewhere in the building.
No, this is in the projection booth, and they are the windows through which I'm not sure if
you better
explain this, but
you better explain
formerly,
this
movie theaters had more than one projector, and you needed to change over about every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, there's only one, so there's still the old windows through which the image used to be projected
The
second projector, and they were looking through that.
So there would be three portals with three cameras, and one camera would run, and when that one was about to die, you kick on the other one and shut off the first one, and the thing keeps going. Essentially, it's how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's one, and
nowadays,
that leaves...
Nowadays, there's only one.
And now there's two empty portals. So you're in, looking out the portals, and you see these faces looking in. So that would mean that they would be... presumably, they would be up in the air looking in.
No, they would be... this is a stadium seating theater, so they would be... It's feasible. It's totally doable in real life. I mean, they'd be standing on the backs of the last row of chairs.
I see.
Yes.
I see. Now, once you saw these faces and you were like, wait a second, what the hell is this? And you go over and you look. I mean, at that point, I mean, were you brave enough to go out of the room and go around to see if they were actually there standing on the chairs?
After a point I was, it took me about 30 seconds of going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, I was more finally just kind of worried as a manager, like, did these kids get in here? Is there a door unlocked? You know, am I going to have to call the police and figure out whose parents are missing their kids? So once that settled in and I stopped thinking like a ghost nut, which I am a bit of a ghost nut, I pretty much had to. So yeah, I braved the theater and there, you know, went out and nothing, no sign of anybody.
Now, how many times have you seen these children looking in the portals?
Twice.
Okay,
yeah,
so
over 10 years, yeah.
All right, so now you saw them the first time, and I'm sure it just caught you off guard, like, oh my God, there's kids in the theater, and then you went out and there's nobody there. Now the second time, did you feel the same way of, oh my God, these kids got in, or did you think the kids are back?
Exactly that. I just went, oh God, it's happening again. And then I stopped and I tried to compose myself and think, no, that it can't be happening. It's my imagination. I saw them once, and no, this is a nightmare. And then I looked again, and they were still there. It was quite horrifying.
So you saw them, and they're right there, and was that when you decided, okay, I'm going to go try and catch them in the act right now?
No,
you
not
waited.
At all. The second time, there's a downstairs area where we keep the letters to the marquee. I just went down there and hid. I'm not going to lie, Brian.
Yeah, well, I can't blame you. Now the first and second time before you went out there when you first saw them, did you attempt to communicate with them, like shoo them off the thing, or did they seem to respond to you at all, or were they just looking off into space?
They were just looking around the booth, really. It just looked like a couple of curious kids. This was the first time. And then by the time I went out into the actual theater, and I just, you know, opened the door and yelled, hey, and nothing. There was nobody there.
After you saw these children, the first or second or both, did you tell anybody?
Oh yeah. I mean, the theater has ghost stories anyway. What's odd about this is that is a twin theater, and one of the buildings is incredibly old and was built in 1919, and there's no ghost stories about that theater at all. The newer one, I think, was built in 1982. And it's the one with all the ghost stories. And, yeah, they go around. So I told the employees because they're fun.
And what do they say?
They all have their own ghost stories, but I don't believe a lot of them. I think a lot of it is just, I mean, I know that sounds crazy because I've had them myself. But you can kind of tell the difference between somebody who's just BSing about somebody who wants an interesting thing to say versus somebody who's actually seen it. And more often than not, the people who've seen it kind of go quiet.
Yeah.
I'm talking, of course, about my employees here. They just kind of go quiet and they nod their heads. And everybody else has some, you know, bizarre story that seems to come from the top of their head. You know what I mean?
Now, has anyone else seen the kids?
Not that I know of, no.
What are some of the other things that the people that...
You don't think I didn't ask. I was looking for credibility here.
Sure. Now, I guess let's start with, what are some of the stories that people have told you that you feel they are just BSing you and trying to tell a good tale?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, aside from the BSing and telling a good tale, there's a lot of I got cold and scared and ran, which, again, I could ascribe to imagination. But one I heard was just, they were very obviously describing something they read in a children's book, because I read the same children's book. It's called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. and they were describing, you know, crocodile men and whatnot, and that they saw, you know, they just saw monster looking things floating around the theater.
Sure.
And it just seemed ridiculous to me.
Now, what were some of the tales you've been told that you thought, okay, this person may be credible?
Well, you know, sometimes, again, some of the, you know, I got scared and ran stories, I'm sure those are all true. But I haven't actually heard of any, you know, like, physical manifestations or anything. Like, nobody who works at that particular theater has ever seen anything like, the children or the women in turn-of-the-century clothing at the other theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever, I mean, do you hear stories from the patrons, or is it mostly the employees that feel scared and run?
It's only the employees. Now, I've heard things from the patrons about the women's room. Again, weird that women's rooms keep coming back up. But there's some kind of weird lighting in there, and I don't really buy it.
Now, the women's room stories would be full manifestations.
I'm talking, God, this is so hard without going into specifics. I'm talking about a different theater now.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense. So, now were those the only two things that you've seen?
No. Though they are, most of the stories are similar. It's just people looking around, people looking curious. I worked at a different chain. This one I can talk about. It was the Mount Lake Nine.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm.
I may be going to the Mount Lake Nine tonight.
Well, it's now called the Cinnabar.
That's right. It is a Cinnabar. I haven't even been there since it became the Cinnabar.
Yeah, this was in about 2002. So again, you know, new building, not exactly your typical ghost haunt kind of story where you know, usually it's a very old building and like the first theater we were talking about. But yes, the Cinnabar, when I was a projectionist there in 2002, and every night it was my job to, I was the last person out of the building, so I had to go through all the theaters and make sure all the exits were closed. And a couple of times, I would just see people sitting there watching movies, and I would, you know, again, no hint of the supernatural at all. I'd just be like, why is this guy sitting there staring at this blank screen? And I'd go ask him to leave, and they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't say anything, and I would just turn away, turn back, and they'd be gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, did you ever
try
to...
It's entirely possible that I just have some brain tumor that's making me see these things. Again, I do consider myself a skeptic, but, you know, I've seen some strange stuff, and I can't explain it, and that's about as far as I go.
So you were up there, and you look down, and there's a guy sitting there.
Yeah.
And he's looking at a blank screen, and you go down, and I presume you're very close to him.
No, I didn't see them from the booth, though I have. This was just, you know, when I was walking through the theaters individually and closing all of the exit doors.
Okay,
in the theater.
Okay, so you look in, you see the guy in the theater, and do you go, like, close up to him, or are you yelling from the door, hey, you need to get out of here?
I'm yelling from the aisles as I walk down to the exit doors.
I see. And is it usually one guy in there, or a few guys?
I only ever saw people by themselves. This only happened three times. And it was always people sitting by themselves, and
like
it was
in
different auditoriums every time.
I like how you say it's only happened three times. That's a million times to me.
Well, again, I mean, this is you know, after working these places for years.
Sure, yeah.
It's not like a regular thing. It's something that happened once a year or so, you know?
Yeah. So the guy's there, you're walking down the aisle, you see the guy, and you say, hey, you're going to have to leave. And he keeps looking at the screen. And you look away and look back, and he's gone.
Yeah, like basically I was talking while walking. I was walking down the aisle saying, you know, hey, buddy, we're closed. And I saw him standing there staring at the screen. Didn't really get a good look because I was just thinking, oh, weird guy, just, you know, stayed after the credits for some reason. And I went to the exit door, closed it, turned around, nobody's there.
Now, you even thought that the third time, for example, that you saw just a single random man sitting in there?
Again, it's not unheard of for somebody to actually just sit around and stay after the show. Maybe they're playing on their phone, you know. So this never seemed odd in the moment.
So you kicked real people out on a somewhat regular basis.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I see. Okay. I see. I had this impression that like the theater's always empty, and once a year there's just a guy there that then disappears, and it's like, wait a second. After the first time, you know. So presumably, you know, I guess if that's the case, then you didn't really, like, walk up close to the guy to tap him on the shoulder, for example.
No. I mean, I wish I did. You know, it's one of those things where you relive the moment over and over again. You're like, damn it, I was so close, and I could have, you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, you wonder what would have happened if you went over there and tapped him on the shoulder.
Oh, man, I shudder to think.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So we've got phantom children, we've got phantom moviegoers. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much about it. It's always fairly, you know, mundane stuff. It's just people.
Sure.
Standing. nothing around. There's no, you know, monster-looking stuff. There's no, you know, nobody's ever touched. Nobody's ever... It's always... The odd thing about it is that, and I, you know, again, I grew up around these theaters, and not the the Cinnabar, but I grew up around the old theaters, and the stories are all the same. It's always, I thought it was just some guy. It starts out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it always ends up with, and then they were just gone. So that it's fairly common, and when I tell the stories, I get a lot of wide eyes and nods from the managers that have worked there for years.
Do you ever do any follow-up investigations? For example, you walk the aisle, there's a guy, you say, you're going to have to get out, buddy, you turn around, he's gone, and then you go over and check the seat out, see if, for example, it's warm.
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah, and no, it wasn't. Yeah, that's the first thing I did, because I was thinking, oh, it's a ghost, as I was thinking, oh, he ducked down and he's hiding. So I'd take my flashlight and go over and, you know, look at where they were sitting. And no, none of the seats were warm. There was no garbage sitting around where they were sitting. There was never anything.
Was the seat cold?
It wasn't cold. It was just, you know, regular room temperature. Again, Brian, I could have hallucinated the whole thing.
I suppose it's possible. Yeah. Three times, though.
Yeah.
You know, everybody sees something weird once. But after the third time, you start to think, that's kind of weird. Now, in your other, have you traveled around the area and investigated other theaters and haunted places?
Never on purpose, never with this, you know, the intent of doing it. I mean, a couple of times after a few drinks, I have keys to a few theaters. I'd go sit and see if anything creepy would happen. Whenever I was looking for it, it never did.
Of course. You ever, since you're local here in the area, have you ever headed out to the Maltby Cemetery?
I have not. I've never even heard of it.
Really? I need to do a show just like on the Maltby Cemetery. It's quite the place. Everybody Google Maltby Cemetery. There's a lot of good stuff up there.
How's that spelled?
Maltby.
Huh.
The Maltby Cemetery. It's out a little past Woodinville. It's quite the interesting place. A lot of stories about the Maltby Cemetery, although a lot of the stories were, I heard from so-and-so, I heard from so-and-so. And
again, yeah.
You know, one of those types of
deals. These kinds of places draw those stories, and they're fun stories. I mean, whether or not they're true, I find kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
I like hearing them.
Now, what about Pike Place? You ever headed down there and looked around?
I have. Never saw anything. Never got creeped out.
No.
You know, the bathroom's a little scary, but I think for different reasons altogether.
Sure, yeah. Now, did you ever talk to anybody down in Pike Place or anything like that?
No, not really. I've never heard of any real ghost stories about Pike Place. Are you, you know, holding back on me, Brian? What do you know?
No, I just when I was first starting to do this show, I got one of those Haunted Washington books, which it's not all about haunting, or maybe it's Weird Washington. I think it was Weird Washington. It wasn't just hauntings; it was all sorts of weird stuff.
I think it's Weird Washington.
Yeah, Weird Washington, and you know, they talked about Pike Place, and there was even a deal in there about the Maltby Cemetery and a lot of other places and theaters and that sort of thing. The ones we're talking about, I'm sure, are in there as well. But yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff in Washington. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So the theaters that we're talking about here, those are your experiences there that we have talked about. And are those the only major theaters you've worked at, or are there others where strange things have happened that maybe you didn't see?
I've heard, again, I've never met a theater or a bar that wasn't purportedly haunted. I don't know what it is about places where people gather, but they seem to come up with the most stories. And yeah, I've heard a few about. One is, I think, up in Mount Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story of the and I read this from a projectionist buddy of mine, posted it on his blog. The story of the phantom projectionist, where every once in a while they'll forget to do something and it'll get done anyway.
Hmm.
They'll you know, or they'll go upstairs to build a film and it'll already have been built.
The phantom,
you know,
projectionist sounds
close
like...
close the booth, and it'll already have been closed. You know, everything will be turned off, everything's been done, and they didn't do it. So,
well, that's certainly a handy phantom.
Yeah. Productive poltergeist.
Which is one of those around here, quite frankly. Now, when you've thought about this, you mentioned that you don't really know what to think. You don't believe they're ghosts. You simply believe they're a phenomenon. I mean, are there any sort of specifics that you really think about this? I mean, do you have any sort of theories?
There's a few I've heard that I like. Again, without, you know, scientific basis, I just think it's neat to think about. One is the coiling theory of time, where time is like a spring and it points where the coils touch. Interesting things can happen. I don't know. That's just, you know, pseudo sci-fi bull crap that I think is neat, but I don't know, that's one. Another that I kind of like is that certain animals, if enough of them are hunted from one area, without, you know, being able to think logically, they will start avoiding that area.
Mm-hmm.
And why would they be doing that? So a buddy of mine said, you know, what if they're seeing the ghosts of their dead buddies and being frightened away? Like, what if this is a defense mechanism?
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of neat.
Well, you know, I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but, you know, I talk about my cats all the time, and,
yeah.
You know, cats do, like, I'm sure all animals do, but cats do really weird things. Like, you can take a brand new baby kitten and put them in a litter box, and they know how to use it. And,
yeah, which I find fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes the cat will, you know, you feed the cat, and when the cat's done eating, it'll go over next to its bowl, and it will phantom dig. You know, it'll be like it's digging a hole, because in the wild, you know, cats know, okay, if I eat this food, I should probably cover it up so that, you know, I'm hiding my tracks here, and same with its litter and that sort of thing. And it's just like, you know, the instincts of these animals are fascinating to watch. And I don't know why animals avoid areas where many animals have been slaughtered. You know, it's I don't know. I just don't know. So,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting. It's certainly interesting. And, you know, when you hear about ghost stories, you know, I don't know what this phenomenon is. I don't know if I necessarily believe that these are people that have come back or anything like that. But
no. It
always seems to be in some place where, like, you know, there were great feelings of emotion of some sort. So,
yeah, that's another thing somebody has said. One of the people doing the tour of the theaters said that these will often happen in places where anybody feels, you know, like you said, a great amount of emotion, and a movie theater is nothing but that. It's a place where hundreds and hundreds of people every day are put through the ringer, emotionally speaking.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that, you know, if that is what it is, it makes sense that it would be a movie theater.
Yeah, movie theaters and prisons. And
yeah.
And hospitals, I've heard, and in places like that. I mean, you rarely hear, like, you know, the local the DMV is haunted. Although I guess there would probably be a lot of anger at a DMV, but you know, you always hear about places like that. So you try and figure out, okay, well, you know, a theater, for example. You know, one would think, okay, well, you know, maybe a prison is haunted because people were executed there and all this and that. But then you think about a theater and it's like, okay, nobody was executed at a theater. Probably nobody ever died there. It's just, it's a theater. So maybe this has nothing to do with anything like that. It's just places of where great emotion has occurred. Strange things happen there for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's basically where I land on the issue. And that's about all I care to know about it, to say that I know about it, that I think that in places of great emotion, strange things are prone to happen.
Now, I have not really heard the stories about bars. I mean, you mentioned you've never met someone that owned a bar that didn't have stories, and that kind of surprises me a little bit.
Just about as long as I've been working in theaters, I've been working in bars as well, doing the karaoke gigs. And, yeah, since I turned 21. And, many, many years ago. Anyway, every single bar owner, bartender, waitress who's there after hours has reported, you know, seeing or hearing very strange things. Many of them have actually made me stay later just so they don't have to be alone.
Really?
And it's usually, again, pretty mundane stuff, noises, hearing people talking when there's nobody there.
Yeah.
That's a big one, actually, is just hearing people having a conversation. And again, it usually starts out with, oh, I need to kick people out. Somebody managed to hide in the bathroom but after last call, and I need to get them out of here. And then they, you know, look for them, and there's nobody there. That's a big one, and that's actually pretty common.
Any local bars around this area?
The Dubliner, purportedly. I know that's oddly self-serving because I work there. But, yeah, I've definitely heard from a few of the cocktail waitresses, though they didn't go into specifics. They were too scared to tell me.
Really?
Yeah.
They were too scared to go into specifics?
They just didn't want to talk about it. I think she was, you know, really embarrassed.
Yeah?
Like, nobody wants to sound crazy. Here I am on the radio sounding crazy, but...
Well, we only know you. We only know you as Joe.
It's true. But we do know where I work now. Anyway, yeah, nobody wants to sound crazy, so she just said, can you stay late? I asked why. She said, there's some weird stuff going on, and I was thinking, you know, oh, people are trying to break in or whatever. And eventually it came out that, no, we're haunted. And when I pressed her for details, she didn't want to talk about it at all.
Really? Wow. What other, any other bars in the area besides that one?
Again, all of them. I've worked in many bars around here, and I've never heard of one that wasn't purportedly haunted. It's just, again, you're in a place like that that's usually full of life and full of people all day, every day, and you suddenly find yourself alone there. It kind of makes sense that you'd start filling in the gaps with your imagination.
Well, yeah, I think that sometimes because... you know, when I went to UFC in Toronto, it was really loud, like really loud. And you know, you'd go into the restroom or whatever, and it was much, much quieter in there. But there'd still kind of be that ringing in your ears. And I don't know, maybe you're at a bar all night and everybody's singing karaoke and everybody's loud and there's drunk people being really, really loud. And then you kick everybody out and I don't know, you almost think there'd kind of be that remnant of noise still left in your head.
Yeah.
Maybe any sort of sound you would interpret as something you'd heard earlier. I don't know. Now, anything else other than bars and theaters?
No, that's basically it.
That's the two big ones, huh?
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
I wish I had more for you, sir, but I think my five sightings over the course of my lifetime is more than enough for me.
Well, five sightings is five more than I've had, if I really think about it. I don't think I've ever really had any sighting whatsoever, now that I think about it. I may have had something that I've forgotten.
Again, Brian, I do have an overactive imagination. I've seen way more than those five things, but the five that I am have been talking about are the only ones that I really believe something happened.
Sure.
The rest of them was just me wandering around thinking haunted theater, haunted theater, haunted theater, and you know, letting my imagination run wild.
Yeah. Well, still, that's five good ones there. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for doing the show today, and of course, you've got my email address, I've got yours, so if anything happens and you have another sighting of the kids, drop me a line and we'll get you back here on the show and talk more about this.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, and of course, thanks everybody for listening. I'll be back in the next couple of weeks with some new shows, and appreciate all the support. Sorry things have been off and on the last couple of weeks, but we do what we can. So, Joe, the Mysterious Joe, thanks again. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you again after a while.